Hey everybody, CJ Bachman here for another episode of the One SEO Podcast. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to dissect a case study, JG Wentworth in particular. We were able to help them gain 79% more leads. We're going to talk about what we did, how we did it, and why it was successful. Stay tuned. Today, I am joined by BJ Berge. BJ, welcome.
Hey, pleasure to be here.
We've done a lot of podcast episodes together, but we've never really dissected or talked about a case study. So let's have some fun today. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So you not single-handedly, you had some help, but you worked on JG Wentworth, correct?
I did. Yep.
All right. So JG Wentworth is the nation's top structured settlement company. Everybody can hear the commercial now that we said it out loud. But one of the things that we did was we analyzed the user behavior. So let's talk a little bit about that rundown. What is user behavior and what is it as it relates to digital marketing?
Sure. So user behavior is data and intel that tells us how your prospective customers, the users on your website or the users on your footprint online, are interacting with your assets. So using that data, we can make decisions on how to better serve them. Where are they starting their journeys, but where are they ending? Are they ending prematurely? Or how much time are they spending on it? Are they hitting the page and then bouncing way too fast? This is all data that we get and have at our fingertips to be able to make these educated decisions.
So one of the things that I know that we dove into with JG Wentworth was their website. Mm-hmm. What were some of the signs that indicated that their website wasn't the best for being able to help them convert?
So yeah, we put some heat maps on websites. So heat maps allow us to put an extra snippet of code, usually from a third-party provider, that allows us to see where people click, where they engage with, at all different screen sizes, where they may scroll and stop, to see where that traffic may be falling off. Because part of being online and getting leads and converting them is leading the horse to water, but also getting them to drink, right? So heat maps was one of the tactics we took. We also, at the time, it was Universal Google Analytics, but right now it's GA4, mm-hmm. were able to go and see data from the analytics snippet that showed us what people were interacting with, the page flow that they took, so we could see where their journeys truly started and where were they ending. And was the end resulting in a conversion, or was it resulting in, hey, I'm just not interested anymore and I need to go figure out something else?
Yeah, and I think with heat maps, one thing that a lot of people don't realize is you're able to tell a lot based on what people do. So if you put a heat map on there, and the reason why it's called a heat map is you think about being able to, what's the UV red lighting, like military, where you can see
like the night vision goggles.
Infrared, yeah. Or yeah, night vision goggles. So it's kind of like being able to say, okay, where all the activity is, it's going to be red. It's going to be really, really dark and yep. be able to show. And if all of that is on your exit or, you know, getting out, then that's a problem. But more importantly, that being able to really see what they're doing along that journey so that you can enhance it. If they're falling off all on one particular page, then maybe that page is the problem. If they're not making it to that page, then that's a whole nother problem in itself.
Yeah. Far too often people like to look at one piece of data and use as definitive gospel as to why something is working or not. What this user flow tells us is, hey, what is supporting or disproving what is working versus what's not, right? So you could have a UX issue. And in JG Wentworth's case, they were trying to rebuild a website at the time. And we coached that through. And some of that is just psychology. How do people interact with, you know, website? Right. How much time versus a desktop versus a mobile device do you actually have to get someone's attention? And how are you talking to them, right? Yep. So that
and you
tells
didn't
us a
stop,
lot.
Yeah, and you didn't stop there, right? Mm-hmm. You and your team, you decided to take a look at the competitors. So talk a little bit about how looking at what a competitor is doing help give you a little bit of an advantage as it came to being able to get that 79% increase in leads for JG.
Yeah. So far too often people look at their competition and they benchmark where they feel they sit in tandem to them, or lack thereof, I should say. The reality of the situation is your competition doesn't always set the bar you need to overcome, right? Sometimes the bar is just truly not defined. And in JG Wentworth's case, we looked at a lot of their blistering competition of what was, you know, getting their search results and clicks when JG Wentworth should have been getting them, right? And we dissected, what could we see that was working? What was the experience that people were taking around the site? Could we disrupt that and bring a new experience into the equation to really garner that traffic conversion? That's exactly what we did. We looked at that competition from top to bottom, tooth and nail, to see what was working for them, what wasn't working for them, and found an opening, and we went for it.
Yeah. And I think another thing that was uncovered throughout that process was JG was trying to really target a younger audience, mm-hmm. but the mobile version of their site didn't help.
Non-existent. Right? Nope.
So in terms of user flow, and you had mentioned that a little bit, what are some of the major changes that were made to really help that user flow?
So some of the major changes that we made start at the what we call on-page load or above the fold. So when you hit a website, especially depending on what you're looking for, because if you're looking for structured settlements, that may be on a mobile device, but it may be more on a desktop. In J.G. Wentworth's case at the time, it was more desktop. So we know we had to take a desktop-first approach, even though we're living in a mobile-first world. So we looked at that hierarchy. We made decisions with call to actions. We made decisions with psychological colors, flow of the page, natural element alignment to say, hey, where are people's eyes going to be when they start to navigate this page? And then hitting them every step down the page and also giving them, you know, advanced conversion paths, if you will, through sticky navigation, sticky footer, callouts, things of that nature. So we really controlled the narrative from top to bottom and reworked them from a UX standpoint based off of what was working or not working for the competition. And we went all in on it. They made the changes that we suggested. And, you know, we garnered that 79%.
And that's awesome. And one of the ways that you did that, and you briefly mentioned it, was really by focusing on those core pages and that top to bottom funnel, keyword funnel. Talk a little bit more about that strategy and how it is effective.
Yeah, so a lot of people think that when it comes to identifying keywords that you go and get everything and you shove it on the website and you make each page talk about each and everything. And why that does work to some degree, it doesn't paint the best picture. There is much more to the equation, such as natural language processing that comes into the matter. There are, you know, elements of the history of the website and what was working where versus where you're trying to put it now that all have to be taken in consideration. Sometimes the best answer for an SEO initiative is not the best answer for a user, and those things have to be considered, right? So in JG's case, we identified the appropriate keywords, we identified where there was traction or lack thereof, and we drew clear, definitive lines in the sand to help funnel that traffic appropriately, not just from the user experience standpoint, but also from the bots that are chewing on the information when they look for the site.
And when it comes to relevance, something else that really comes into play is your authority, right? So one of the things that we did for JG was a scholarship program. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that strategy and how it aided in really taking them to the next level.
Yeah, so the importance of a scholarship strategy or, you know, a strategy to garner links from .edus or .govs is kind of second to none, right? Because think about it, .edu websites are educational institutions that are certified, right? .gov are government official sites. And there's many others that hit this level, but those are the two obvious ones, right? So when you go to try to get those links, reaching out just cold with nothing to offer, and usually to get a reciprocal link, is you give a piece of content and they're like, yeah, I like it, I'll put it on my website. And that's hit or miss. You go an entire year and not get any gratification. And it's like, well, time is money. We need things to happen, right? So we've partnered and made an entire network of schools and institutions that if we give a scholarship to, whether it be $500, $1,000, you know, tools of the trade, whatever it may be, they will put our link on their .edu website and give us that link back, which tremendously skyrocketed the performance of J.G. Wentworth. And, you know, that's a network that we are very proud that we put together and been able to garner over the years. So it's kind of turnkey for us.
Well, I want to throw a curveball at you, right? For business owners who are sitting here and they're listening to this today and they're like, oh, that's great for, you know, for JG, but I don't have JG money. I'm not JG, you know, type company. What is your advice, at least one or two pieces of advice that you can give a business owner when they're literally sitting there saying, how do I beat out my competition? I keep getting outranked by the, you know, this particular organization. Mm-hmm.
So when you're working on, let's say, a reduced budget or, you know, that it's just apples to apples, you're going up against one competitor. My advice is let's make a list. Make a list of what you feel they're winning against you for. Try to poke holes in it. If you can't, chances are then they are beating you. But then prioritize that list. If you try to tackle it all at once, you're going to fail. In J.G. Wentworth's scenario, yes, we tackled a lot, but that's because I had myself, a team, an entire agency on it to a degree. But when you're focusing, you know, on one competitor or two competitors, make a list. If you want to be competitor A for this, put all your effort into that, focus on it. Let's do some scholarships around those type of things and go achieve greatness and beat them at that. Then go on to the next one and the next one. Make it digestible.
Yeah, I think one of the things that was great about working with JG is they weren't trying to necessarily outrank another organization. Like, those weren't the terminology that they used, because for them, it was all about the leads, right? Mm-hmm. And they wanted to gain more. So it was really about understanding what was working for them and what was working for their competitors so that they could add that into their strategy, rework their strategy to be able to encompass that. But they were focused on their lead metric.
Yep.
And that is really important. I think a lot of times, especially with marketing, everyone's so used to the old school method of Googling themselves and really looking at those search engine rankings, when at the end of the day, what they really need to be looking at is their own data and analytics to say, How many leads am I getting? Where are they coming from? What are my dollars doing for me? Where are they working best so that I can do more of that? Where are they not working so I can adjust that channel?
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of the narrative being twisted, and it's like, yeah, I understand what SEO is, but your version is what it was 10 years ago versus today.
Yeah.
And you know, trying to paint it the best picture possible for anyone that may be watching, if you're performing, that's a win for you,
yep.
Right? Saying I need to beat somebody else at a ranking, well, 10 people can sit in the same room, get a different experience. And with the introduction of, you know, Gemini and the Bards of the world and ChatGPT and stuff, yeah. It's changing, right? It's changing so rapidly that you're all going to get different search results. Mm-hmm. And it's so personalized. So the fact of the matter is, define what winning looks like to you and go get it. But don't always, you know, counterbalance yourself to how your competition may be performing.
Yeah, I think
visually.
You have to look at your competitors to see what they're doing differently than mm-hmm. you, what they might be doing better than you. But just like I tell my daughter before she heads into her swim meet, I'm like, remember, you know, your goal is to beat yourself. Your goal is to look at your time and make sure that you're beating 100%. It every time. And I think if a business takes that approach to say, am I bringing in more revenue this month than I did last month? Am I bringing in more this year than I did last year? Those are all great metrics and show you that you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, there's this weird concept of everybody wants to win online. Great. That's why we exist, right? Mm-hmm. But all jokes aside, winning is different to you than it is to the next person.
Yep.
And there's a piece of the pie for every single person that has the right budget to play online, and it's there for the taking. You just have to want to go get it.
Yep. And you've got to optimize and maximize your results so that they work for you.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining me today, BJ. Thank you guys for joining us as well. I look forward to seeing you again on another episode of the One SEO Podcast.